Horizon and Beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn. He is Brian Kelly. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy summer, everybody. It's June finally. Bring it. And in honor of it being another beautiful, scony summer, we hope Civic Media has given some stuff away. The word to text via the app only, which you can get for free from any app store, is lawn this hour. You want to enter via the app, text the word lawn. What could you win? Well, each hour we're going to select one winner for a Wisconsin Dells summer prize pack. Each day, we're going to give away a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats. And the grand prize winner across the entire contest, which is going to run, let's see, this week into next, 2 weeks worth. The grand prize winner, there'll be two of these overall, will have a choice of unique summer staycation getaways. There'll be a getaway in Fort Atkinson's cottage on the lake, including a pontoon boat. There'll be a getaway at Lake Geneva, Door County getaway. Very beautiful. We'll get you hooked up. Staycation. I mean, when I go to Door County, I call that a vacation.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not where I live. I'm going to Lake Geneva. I call that a vacation, even though it's only 30 minutes away.
But it is a different world when you get there. Once you decide you're on a vacation, it could be down the street. I've gone to Jellystone Park, which is literally just I could walk home.
We talked about it. Yes.
And it's still a vacation as long as you decide in your mind it's a vacation.
We've got you covered for your scony summer. Text to win via the app. Text the word lawn this hour. We're going to draw one winner this hour, one winner per day, and two overall grand prize winners over the next 2 weeks. You're not going to want to be left out. My big thanks to Morris Pearl, chairman of the Patriotic Millionaires, former managing director of BlackRock. We were talking about the billionaire minimum tax, billionaire minimum income tax, BMIT. That Joe Biden has proposed. This is an excellent, fabulous, irrefutably great policy idea that would help every single one of you. Because, as Mr. Pearl explained, all of us that either earn a salary, listen, if you go to work every day or want to work every day, trust me when I say this, you are pro-billionaire minimum income tax.
Yeah. It's just people. People don't understand that.
Yeah,
people think that they just like someone's giving the billionaire a check, and then that gets taxed, and then it moves on.
No, billionaires don't work. they don't work because they don't have to.
If you didn't have to work, would you? Some people would, some people wouldn't. But my point is that
I'd probably do a radio show.
Yeah, but if you're sitting there making money off of the stock market, that should be. You know, tax the same.
I would actually argue this. Income taxes, meaning tax that is applied to the people that have to work, whether you earn wages or salary, commissions, whatever it is. If you have to go to work because you need to live, I think I can make a completely solid moral argument that tax rate should, as a moral premise, always be lower than it also works economically, than the tax rate that applies to the wealth gains that rich people, such rich people that they don't have to work, that the non-working class, non-productive class, richest people in the world, their wealth, the increase in their wealth should be taxed higher than working people's income taxes.
Yeah. Most people who are just a regular old person work and have a list of things they would buy nearly immediately if they just had more money. And I'm saying that because
we don't sit on it.
You're going to give it back. You're
correct.
Giving it back.
In other words, when what Brian is trying to say, which we all know, is when we working people pay less in taxes or have more money in our pockets, we spend it into the economy generally. Some of us lucky enough to save a little for retirement to try to get us through. But the people that don't have to work anymore, yeah, they consume things, but you can only buy so many cars. Most of their money never buys anything, never does anything. All it does is it just makes more money.
It's actually outside of the circulation in our economy. It doesn't actually multiply or move around at all. It's us buying stuff in general that does it.
That's right. It's called the consumer economy. That is the middle class.
Hey, during COVID, we got a bunch of money, right? Everybody got a check, and most of that went towards debt payment.
Yep.
And buying stuff.
Buying stuff.
You know what happened with our economy when that happened?
Did better.
Huh.
So the whole point here is that Joe Biden is saying, if your wealth increases, and wealth increase being defined as the increase in the value of assets that you own, only if you have more than like $100 million. You have to be worth at least $100 million. So unless you're a person that doesn't have to work anymore, if you work, this doesn't apply to you. What Joe Biden is saying is if you're worth more than $100 million and the value of your investments increases, you're going to pay at least 20 to 25% tax on that. And Jeff from Shorewood, what I was explaining is this tax will not require a realized gain. It will not be dependent. I mean, basis will be involved, but you're not, you get away, you're further away from the stepped up basis problem. Now there's, we'll get into that a different day. If you don't know what that is, please don't turn the channel, but this is your wealth increases. You pay tax on the increase in that wealth. Why would this not be made law as soon as is humanly possible? Might it be because corporations are people, money is speech, and the handful, I think there's like 70 billionaires or something like that in the United States, those 70 billionaires with all of their billions, because they don't have to buy stuff because they already have all the stuff. So their billions are just sitting around accumulating more wealth, more money. The money's making money. They then take some of that because they don't have to buy any more stuff, and they pay lobbyists to go tell the congressman to not adopt the billionaire minimum income tax.
Can you pay a tax on renting a senator or a politician?
They probably find a way to write it off as a business expense.
Speaking of senators and politicians, I wanted to ask Morris, how is it that, you know, Ron Johnson somehow classifies his hedge fund as an agribusiness?
It's interesting.
A manufacturer and agribusiness. So he gets the tax credit, which makes it effectively 0.4%.
Billionaires in this country and high, high, high net worth people that don't have to work anymore, they pay, this is just an average, 8%. 8%.
Yeah, that's not the same.
Do you know what you're paying? And like I'm pooled, you know, with every little step up in income tax or whatever it is, we're all probably paying northwards of like 20 to 25%.
If you're good, yeah.
Yeah, if you're lucky enough to make that kind of money.
Good for you, regular person. And that's kind of what we were talking about like the last week, is just the way that these people talk about these things, the ones who are, we can't do the capital gains tax, we can't make it possible like this. They talk as if they are a different type of person than you are.
And they're just people that don't work.
That's it. But they talk like there's a different class, a different type of person, a special type of person that have a different set of rules for everybody.
Yeah. And Jeff, again from Short, I see your text. No, I'm not talking about recognized gains. It does not require the sale of the asset. That's the whole point of the billionaire's minimum income taxation. There was actually a bill proposed. Of course, it went nowhere and it didn't get scheduled for a hearing. But they have different methodologies for estimating the value of non-marketed goods or non-traded assets, meaning privately held companies, et cetera, et cetera. You estimate the value, and the increase in value gets taxed. You don't have to sell it. That's the point. Because billionaires and people who don't have to work dodge taxes because they never sell the assets. This was what Morris was explaining with the buy, borrow, die.
Sounds like a wonderful plan. Can we get to just number two?
No kidding.
Do I have to die in order for... Oh, wait. Ah, as long as I stay alive, I don't pay taxes.
Now, here's what. And they've got generation skipping. Trust that, we could spend a whole thing on why estate taxes should be very, very high with loopholes fixed galore.
Yeah. Donald Trump would not be as Donald Trumpy.
No. Had he had meaningful estate taxes.
Yep.
What do you think the highest income tax rate was in the United States? Do you know that? This is a random fact.
Offhand, 72, 73?
94%.
94%. That was like right at the beginning, right?
1944, 1945, we were at war.
Oh, yeah. That would also make sense.
Right.
Put in your part.
But from 1931 to 1987, the top income tax rate was at least 50% for that entire period of time. Meaning, each dollar over or above the highest income quadrant, I shouldn't call quadrant, but the next income scale, was taxed at 50%.
And what happened to that?
Yeah. That came down a little bit. Just a wee.
Right about the same time as we talked about earlier, last hour.
Reaganomics.
Yeah.
Trickle down. That's not a thing. It's been under 40% since you and I and our families and everybody else that works actually needs to work to live until we were sold the bill of goods called trickle down. You heard it from Morris Pearl, a guy who's richer than I'll ever be, former managing director of BlackRock, one of the largest investment funds in the world. Nothing trickles down. Our money trickles up to people like Morris and Donald Trump and Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. Tax the rich? Duh. That's topic number one on day number one of Joe Biden's Top 100. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Obviously. Can we at least say tax the billionaires more? Don't let billionaires sit on their butts doing nothing every day, bloviating on X, talking about you, Elon, and not pay any taxes on their massive increases in wealth.
I'm a gamer. Like, I like video games, right?
Yeah.
And you know, earlier on when you were playing video games, you get to the higher level and you beat the boss, and then there's a more difficult level and it gets a little harder as you go. And for me, if you get to a certain level...
That should be the tax system?
Yeah. You get to a certain level of wealth. Congratulations, you've won capitalism.
Yeah.
Now you play on the difficult level because you can now.
You get taxed the most.
Congratulations,
you've
won.
Arrived.
That,
yes.
That means you shouldn't complain about it. Congratulations, you're the best.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump gets on a stage and brags about... Of course I dodge my taxes. That's good business. I dodge my taxes.
I pay hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes.
No. Nope.
I want to release my tax returns, but I can't release it while I'm under an audit.
Nope. That's not true either.
As soon as my routine audit's finished, I'll release my returns. I'll be very proud to.
Nope, didn't do that.
Nobody knows more about taxes than I do.
Well, I'm sure Morris Pearl does.
I'm sure his accountant does. I doubt that Trump was there going, beep, boop, boop, let me fix my taxes.
Except in the, you know, business fraud cases where everyone's testifying like, no. He knew exactly what those assets were worth. He told us to book it that way. Well, yeah, mm-hmm. We knew that there wasn't that many square feet in the Manhattan flat. Mm-hmm. We knew that. He told us to take a note. So we wrote it down. But as to actual tax code provisions and how it actually works. No, I would gather that Donald Trump has no. If you ask Donald Trump, what is the billionaire's tax? Explain stepped up basis. If you ask Donald Trump, what is your effective tax rate? He wouldn't know any of those things.
I don't know that I've seen him give any specifics
on anything.
Even on lies he tells. He won't even specify on any lie. Elaborate on the lie you're telling.
The best lie from the Trump statements after the trial last week was the judge didn't allow us to call any witnesses because it was such a simple lie, right? It was like, no, they did. You called witnesses. They just stunk.
It just, they were there.
You called witnesses. Of course you can call witnesses. Only a complete and total moron would think that you could be prevented in an American courtroom from calling witnesses in your own defense.
That's basic. That's basic United States. This is why we're making the United States type of stuff. Because part of the big issue was the court system in England.
Yes.
Which, by the way, Alito and Thomas like to go and cite, which
all
is great.
The time.
It's always good to cite the country you overthrew because of their laws.
My favorite is the guy that Alito cited in the Dobbs decision who also believed that witches should be burned at the stake and wrote extensive. He quoted the guy that talked about witches in England and that they needed to be burned at the stake. So that's a really good reference.
I'd love
when
to see
when I look for credible legal minds and writings, I usually vet to be sure that they didn't believe in witches before I cite them. Apparently, Supreme Court Justice Alito does not feel so restrained.
We have found a witch. May we burn? Huh?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
So, what's the impact? What's the economic impact of witches on the United States? How many people were ended because
all those? Well, do you count all the nasty women?
Oh.
Because in which case, yeah, we're propping up the entire United States economy and the entire thing would collapse without women. I feel like we should finish and I should tell people what the tips are to be a better navigator. Before I do that, if you have not yet, you want to text into us using the word lawn, LAWN this hour, to be entered to win a prize that's going to be given away on the hour. Wonderful. A prize that's going to be given away today, which will be a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club level seats. They're amazing. The winner this hour will be given a Wisconsin Dells summer prize pack, and there will be two grand prize winners overall. We're going to give you amazing packages to Fort Atkinson's Cottage on the Lake, Lake Geneva, Door County. I mean, kick off your summer right with some free hangouts from Civic Media. Why not?
Why not?
But I did spend the first half of the first half hour talking about the fact that a lot of folks don't know how to navigate so well because I'd heard some recent research on the matter. And I wanted to give everybody the sort of how do you become a better navigator or getting yourself out of the situation of being lost, if that's a challenge for you. And the first thing that experts recommend is to realize that navigating and spatial awareness is a learned skill. You will get better at it the more you do it. Now, I got a couple of friends, I'm sure you do, Brian, and callers, if you got a friend, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you've got a friend that fits this category, you want to talk about whether or not you're a map or a phone person. I've got a friend who's terrible at it and always insists that I drive because they're bad at it.
Same.
Right? Maggie, you know where everything is. You drive. And I usually do because I'm a control freak. Oh, sure. Okay. Excuse me. But what the experts are saying is if that's you and you're not great at driving, no. You should drive. And actually have your friend potentially help with the directions, perhaps use a navigator. But what they said is that by driving yourself or by being the one that's responsible for planning the route and paying attention to where you are, you actually improve the way that your brain starts to put together spatial connections, meaning where I am on a map to where I need to go. All those kinds of things. There's four more incredible tips. I thought all these were really good. So I'm going to continue to share those. But I also have to tease, I have an incredible story about getting lost. I have been a big backpacker for a long time. And every fall, I would go with my cousin Sue, because we'd go to Colorado and go backpacking. Now, if you know anything about Colorado in October, weather can crop up kind of quickly. You're not going to want to miss my navigational tips, how to get better at doing that, as well as kind of an epic, a novella-length story of me getting lost in the woods on a mountain with my cuz. I'm Maggie Dawn. He is Brian Kelly. Give us a call if you want to hang out, participate. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Don't worry, I'll be getting to the Trumpian politics of the day. Maybe even a little Hunter Biden. Seems to be some news about that today as well. Keep it locked, everybody. Your farm update is next. And then I'll be back with Maggie Got Lost in the Woods on a Mountain story here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
She's a witch!
But I certainly appreciate you listening and participating. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the Text to Win Contacts Test. Text in the word lawn via the Civic Media app this hour only today. You'll be entered to win a Wisconsin Dells Summer Prize Pack. We'll pick one winner this hour. We'll pick one winner today of a pair of Club Level Brewers tickets. And of course, there'll be two grand prize winners overall. You'll get a really cute, cool getaway vacation, Lake Geneva, Door County, Fort Atkinson Cottage on the Lake. I mean, very cool stuff. One of the packages even includes a pontoon boat rental. Amazing. Speaking of Brewers Club level tickets, I gotta say, it's been a nice stretch of seven games against Chicagoland baseball teams for the Brewers. They are now sitting atop the NL Central, some 7.5 games ahead of St. Louis. Seven games ahead of the Cubs, Brian?
Yeah, St. Louis is on top of the Cubs, and the Cubs have lost their last six series. But I do have to say, you play the White Sox, and that just... That does not count as a team to play.
It does when you sweep them.
They are historically bad. All I'm saying is I can't wait because the Cubs are going to start a series with them tomorrow.
Wait. Didn't the Sox win a World Series before the Cubs did? A few years ago?
2005. Yeah. They threw four complete games in a row. Their pitching staff did. That will never ever happen again.
No.
In the playoffs, four complete games
Incredible.
In a row.
That was a really fun series. Brewers are at the Phillies tonight. First pitch is going to be at 5:40. Remember, as always, you can check out the crew on one of at least four stations here in the Civic Media Radio Network. WRCE, Richland Center, WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, WISS, Oshkosh, and of course, WCQM Country in Park Falls.
Good luck with the Phillies. They're really good. If you want to know
what... 41 or 42 games.
They're on a historic pace right
yes.
now. And if you want to like know how good your team is, see how well they do against these Phillies right now.
I'll be watching. I wore my Brewers shirt. If you're looking online, wore my Brewers shirt, watching on the tube, the X, or the Facebook, I believe.
Yeah, those are the ones. Forms.
I always have such a hard time remembering them all. It'll be fun. Going to check that out. But I had to share with you all, we've been talking about the importance of directions. Directions, getting to know a place, orienting yourself. You feel more connected to it. You feel ownership of it. It's good sort of logic and analytics. You feel more relaxed. It has all kinds of good, really good impacts on your brain. It also helps you out in situations like I'm going to describe. My cousin and I would often do really aggressive day hikes. I mean, stuff that, like, we've tried to do a couple 14ers, but stuff where it's a lot in a day.
Yeah, and it's not like you have to bring everything with you. You can't really stop and get yourself some fast food or anything.
Yeah, there's no drive-through. You got to take all your water, all your food. And, you know, if you're going to say, all right, I'm going to go out hiking for 14 hours today and start at, you know, first daylight and go until it's nearly dusk. A lot of trail navigation, all kinds of stuff. We were doing a particularly gnarly route, lots of incline. This was before COVID. We go in the winter. She's hiked these trails a number of times. But my cousin, if I may, I love you, Sue, because the woman runs like 5 days a week. She was a college track star, distance track.
Yeah, you have to keep that up because once you stop.
Sometimes I'm like hitting the whistle just to be like, Sue, you still in hearing distance? I'm slow and steady, right? I'm the gal on the hiking path. People are like, is she okay? I'm like, I'm fine. This is just the way I breathe. That's me. I always make it. I'm not fast. You don't need to worry about me, but I make it. Okay. I am very persistent on a hiking trail. Anyways, we get way up there. This trail was so high that there's like a naturally formed lake way, way up in the mountain. And it starts getting real cold. And the clouds roll in and it starts kind of like thundering. And we're nearly at cloud cover range. I mean, it is real cold. And we had to make it probably another 1,000 feet up and around this lake to then come back down. And all of a sudden it started snowing. And not like, oh, there's some little beautiful fluffies. I mean, huge snowflakes, like the heavy wet stuff. And it's thundering, which is wild if you've never experienced that, the snow thunder. And the coverage is, I mean, it's because it's still fall, trees still have leaves. So all the trees start bending over. And we weren't around the lake. And I just said to Suze, we're going back. And we were wet because it had kind of been like drippy and drizzly all day. Not a great day.
So you're also heavier.
Oh, yeah. We weigh a ton. You're cold. I mean, you're sweating, but you're cold. It's this weird thing that skiers, hikers, but your extremities start to get real cold, especially when there's like very quick temperature changes. And you're basically just eating to keep some kind of food in your body, you know, with your camel pack. And I'm just like, we're going back down. So we start and the snow is coming down so fast that from the time I said, let's turn around and go back down, we're not going to make it around this lake. Within like an hour, maybe, there was over a foot of snow on the ground. And all of the trees were totally bent over, the evergreens, obviously, too. And we had been ascending, I don't know, for like 6 or 7 hours that day. And so it's maybe a 3-hour descent because you're double timing it and it's crappy. We're about an hour, maybe an hour and a half in. And Sue turns around and looks at me because she's the one that's been on this trail a bunch of times. She turns around and looks at me and she's just white as a ghost. She's like, Maggie, I don't know where we are. And suffice it to say, when you are in your own miserable place, right, when you're hiking or doing anything like this, you just try to like focus in. I often count steps in cadences of 20 just to keep myself going. And then like, okay, next 20, And I had been focusing, but I had also been looking around because stress levels were high. And Sue was just, she was not solving this problem.
And then that's when you make mistakes because
she
you get into
in panic.
Fight, you get into panic, yep. Fight or flight, and you do things just to be doing something so you can feel like you're doing
it. Because you're freaking out, yes.
Yep, and that's when you end up
really lost.
And then they go, why is this person sitting here in this? How did they even
how
get to this spot? And why are they frozen to death here?
So I could tell Sue was like, she wasn't in shock. She was just in full like terror panic and was kind of hyperventilating. Now, because I'm the slower of the two cousins. I had the whistle. So I gave her the whistle. And I gave her an assignment. I said, I want you to beat a path from that tree back to this tree. And every time you hit this tree with your hand, I need you to whistle so I can hear you. I'm going to go back up the mountain. Now, keep in mind, snow is coming down like fast. And I was like, eat this, drink this. I'll be back. Don't go anywhere. I expect to hear a whistle, you know, because I didn't want her to freak out and run off. And all I'm thinking is I have to get up. We have tracks for a little while. I have to get back up this mountain. Again, this is the bigger of the two cousins that moves at the slow and steady huffing pace.
Yeah.
I got to get back up this mountain until I am certain, while I can still see footprints. And I didn't have snowshoes, which was stupid. I got to get back up the mountain until I know we're on the trail again and then go back and get her because I don't think she's going to be able to find me and then get back down. And I had no idea how, again, we were about half the way down. So we've probably descended, I don't know, at least a couple thousand feet.
And any wrong step, you could twist your ankle.
And
especially,
I'm going to be,
like, yep. You're not on a trail. You could definitely step into a hole.
So I just start going and I'm checking, right? And there are certain, there are certain ways that certain trails mark the trail. Also, if it's a groomed trail, you're going to see cut timbers, all that kind of stuff. The biggest problem was you couldn't discern trail from off trail because everything was already covered with all of this snow, right? So now we're up over a foot. And I walked for minute, like it was well over 15 minutes up. And then it was getting to the place where I was like, I can't, the footprint's not great. And I can hear the whistle in the distance. And I'm like, if I can't find this right now, we are ducked. And I every few feet, I turn around full 360 and look around. Do I see groomed trail, anything that looks like a trail? Am I still seeing the footprints? No groomed trail. All right, go up more. And I was about at the point where I was like, this is, we're going to have to just try to pick our way down. And we didn't have a sat phone, but I turned around and off to my left, I could see that there were two large downed trees that had been halved. And I was like, that is the trail. Thank God. So broke branches as I went back down, like double timed it down to get Sue. Literally was like, grab on to the back of my, because she was still kind of in like shock mode. I mean, just not really there. Keep drinking, keep eating this. Back up, following the broken branches, then over and down. And we started moving because the sun was, I mean, we had blown, it was not good. I was about as afraid for my life almost as I have ever been. We got down and as we came out and hit like the very end of the trailhead, while you're still in the woods, Sue's basically started, like, tears started coming down. She's just like, oh, my yep. God. Oh, my God. It was, so I say all of this to say that what saved us was the fact that even though I'm always in my own personal hell, no, we did not have a compass. No, we did not have GPS, which was stupid. I'm probably never hiking alone with Sue's again. Two, I'm certainly never doing it without an insulated blanket, at least a compass, and preferably a sat phone. But I say all this to say what saved us was I know somehow how to fix this, which was I know where our footprints are, follow those. We have to eventually get back on the trail. The fact I could keep my wits a little bit and the fact that even though I'm always in my own version of misery while I'm hiking, I stop and look around every once in a while. Where am I? Especially when I would hit breaks in the trail. Like, oh, it goes this way. All right. One of the tips. So the first tip, if you're a terrible navigator, is be the navigator more. Practice. You'll get better at it. The second one is turn around. Look around where you are. This includes you're at a stoplight, big intersection. Look around. Check it out. Spatial and just your physical awareness of where you sit in a place and trying to orient yourself, because the way that you look at it when you're going up the mountain ain't the way it looks on the way down. Boy, did Susie figure that one out.
Yeah.
Phew.
Yeah. I mean, even if I use my phone for navigation, look around so
look
you
around.
Know what is going on. Even if you take the same route all the time,
look around.
Get to the point where you don't have to use the navigation.
We're going to come back with the last few navigational tips and some thoughts about the Hunter Biden gun criminal trial. Jury just seated moments ago. We will break a little of that news, chat a little bit about Hunter and the legal peril he faces. After these brief messages, I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Last segment of the day coming up in just a moment.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Somehow found my way home. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network talking. Today has been busy day. Day one of Biden's Top 100 kicked it off with Morris Pearl, former managing director of BlackRock, talking about the billionaire's minimum income tax. This is what you would call obvi, as the kids would say. But also wanted to talk a little bit about directions, simply because it piqued my interest this morning. I've had some experience. I'm a good navigator. I consider myself map savvy. I'm a combo gal. I got atlases. I've got the hard copy maps. I'll check them out. Then I'll use, you know, traffic updates, etc. on the GPS. I know what a frontage road is. I know how to understand grids. Carolyn from Madison, are you a hard copy map person or you like the GPS on the phone?
I grew up in Milwaukee, mostly on the east side. I'm in my 80s now. But we moved 12 times before I was 12 years old. And my parents got me and my siblings to draw maps of between here and school. And to draw the houses on these roads that we draw and stuff like that, or to the bus stop. Or
yes.
But just drawing it, you know, just your yes. hands doing this, I think, helped a lot. It's just for parents out there.
I love it. Thanks so much.
Kids might want to make a map.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Carolyn. I love it. She's 80. She's fabulous. She's calling from Madison. Used to live on the east side of Milwaukee. She's one of my old neighbors. Then thank you so much for calling and listening, Carolyn. Great idea. Draw the map. I used to do that when I was a kid. I mean, that's how big of a nerd I was. I draw like all the alleys and backways and little cut throughs and stuff in my hood.
I have an atlas that I sometimes when I don't know what I want to do or just hanging out, I just go and look at my atlas. Just pick
to
a
look
country
at it.
And go, what if I wanted to drive through Bogota?
Yeah. What does that look like?
What if I wanted to go and walk from the tip of Africa all the way to the tip of Siberia? How would I do that?
It is. It's a creativity exercise. It's a mind-wandering exercise. I love all this. Thanks, Steve, watching on Facebook for the props. Yes, he has gotten off of or out of little sticky situations when GPS has failed by using a compass. I think everybody should know how to read one. I do know how to read one and use one. Just didn't have one. Tips if you are a bad navigator. First tip, navigate more. Be the driver. Be the one that has to figure out where you're going. Don't hand over the stuff, the phone, the map, or whatever it is to your friend who's great at it. Just do it. You'll get better at it. Second tip, get lost on purpose. If you have a little bit of extra time on your way home, why not get off on the wrong exit that's like two exits early and figure out how to get home? I have done this, especially now that I have to commute every day.
Yeah, I know about 15 ways to get here now.
Yes. We are live from downtown Waukesha here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And listen, you can get lost in downtown Waukesha. It is small but mighty. It will confuse you. The only way
one-way streets. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, the only way I can do it is by driving around, walking around, getting a little lost, checking it out. Third tip is pick big landmarks kind of on the horizon. Don't pick the bodega on the corner, because two corners later, that will not help you. You pick a big skyscraper, the mountains, the lake, if you are in Milwaukee, and I've always oriented by the lake, or big highways. One of the things that I love about Milwaukee is that it's 94 east, but it is going south.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It is east because it has to go. It has to go around the lake.
And the west and the west is north.
Yes,
it naturally totally is not confusing whatsoever.
And then it's also 43, 41, 45 moving from right to left.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now the highway system in general is pretty cool.
Yes,
I mean the Eisenhower highway system. You can all the 90s are all over all the way on the east, and all the ones and tens and early ones are all the way on the west. It goes from left to right.
That makes sense. Milwaukee, we keep you guessing. At least we got a nice straight-up grid. Tip four is to turn your environment or landmarks into a narrative or major street names so that you remember stuff. Why do you tell yourself, tell yourself a story about the place, you're likely to remember it. The final tip was what I mentioned, I think, saved me. And that was when I hike, I stop and turn around and I look around. What is this going to look like on the way down? Oh, yeah, there's this real weird craggy tree here. That'll be on my right. Stuff like that. If you do this in your car or when you're out in a boot in a new downtown urban area, it is so helpful. Carmela saying she likes to get lost. What's up, Carmela? Hi, Sherry from Horicon. Yes, get lost, pay attention, look around you. And though we didn't get there this afternoon, I'll start with Hunter tomorrow. Why did I take us down this long road about long roads? As always, I like to bring it back together. And the reason that I did this was that final tip, that final piece of advice, to look around, pull your head up, turn around, look at things from all angles. It helps to be curious about the space that you're in. It helps to be curious about the world around you. It helps to take our horse blinders off, pick our faces up out of our phone, and realize that we are existing with one another in a bigger picture sort of space. And that's not just true about navigating and getting from point A to point B or getting your lost self home off a mountain. It's also true in life. We do better when we can see different perspectives, when we take the time to, again, pull our heads up and look around. And I think we're in that moment. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in this afternoon. That's going to do it for me this Monday. I'll be back tomorrow with Brian Kelly for day two of Joe Biden's Top 100. Navigate safely out there, everybody. Remember, I'll stick up for you. I hope you stand up and stick up for me. But always remember, it's better when we navigate, stand up, and stick up for each other together. Take it easy, everybody. You've been listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Your Devil's Advocates Radio is up next.
How does this relate to our discussion of the uses of irony?